Anybody get the Fall Fest yesterday? Yeah. Is it awesome? All right, I'm really excited today. I don't know. It's just it's a cool thing about this church. This church is not many churches have like a dance center next door, you know. And I think it's awesome that this church is not just a singing church, but we're a dancing church, you know. We got some really awesome awesome kids today. They're going to perform for you. You know, just remember that you know that God sees us differently. You know, we see ourselves a certain way, but God sees us through His eyes, and that's the way we should see ourselves. This whole thing was born out of a women's conference conversation I had with Jill and some folks, and this song came to my head, and then it came to like this idea about the girls dancing, and that's where this idea came from. It's just a God inspired moment, and I just love the fact that we had this relationship with the dancing studio. So, thank you, Tina. All right. So, anyways. So let's stand up and worship God today.
Let's just open with prayer today. Lord God, we come to you from all different places and all different ways. And some of us feel like we have a distracted mind and life. what have you. But God, right now, we're just going to take this time just to set apart and just give thanks and praise to you. Lord God, you are the love of our lives. And even if we're here and we don't know that, I pray that you'll just reveal that love to us. Because I just believe somebody here needs to hear that today. And for all these things, God, we just want to give you praise. Amen.
All right, give me a beat, Thomas. Let's wake them up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stand and just stay standing right now. Can we go to just the stand? just really quickly and just sing that chorus part, which is what we sing anyway. It's really simple, but our new series is called Stand. And it's right. Real simple. It's
just, you guys know the song?
It's really simple. Just worship the Lord.
So I'll stand with arms high and heart open.
Middle school stay here. They're not going anywhere yet, so just hang tight. All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great to see everybody here today. I want to go ahead and I want to do... a couple things here real quick. Number one, if you see somebody around you haven't seen in a while, or you see somebody that you have seen and they think they look good, just go ahead and say hi. If they look bad, just act like they look good. Just go ahead and say real quick, just reach around you right near you, don't have to get up. Go ahead and say hi. There we go. All right. All right. All right, again, it's good when we come together. It's awesome to be here. I challenge you to see, if you see somebody you haven't seen, go ahead and make yourself friendly with them, and that's good stuff. Please take a look at at the announcements. I'm not going to go through all of those. I'm not going to insult everybody, but I want you to go ahead and look at that. Number one, I want to say thank you to our team yesterday and the individuals who were there at the Fall Fest. If you were there, just kind of stand up where you are. We want to thank, go ahead, Marshall, there we go. Great job. They had a great time and really connected to a lot of people. Had fun, right? It's always an adventure with Marsha, and it's always fun. And she's doing a great job. And so Mike and everybody, thank you for the team that is doing that. I could go back to Marsha because she's got a lot of stuff going on. Tonight, 6:30, right here. Okay, we want you to come on out, and we are going to be showing the movie God Is Not Dead. Please come if you got friends you want to bring. We will be at 6:30. We'll start here. We also recognize there'll be those coming from Paris. After you're done from Paris Foundation, come on over. It'll be a great time for us to sit here and watch that. How many have seen that movie? Anybody? Okay. Well worth. Who has not seen it? Oh wow, we should be packed. So it should be awesome. Go ahead. Come on out tonight and we will see that, and we'll have fun. And Marsha, there you are. If they have any questions, they'll see you, right? Right after church, right outside there. Okay, next Sunday, how many of you like to eat? Who likes to eat? Anybody like to eat? Okay, next Sunday, our church picnic. Following our church service, we'll be down at Perryville Town Park, or Community Park, whatever it's called. And we always have a great time, have a lot of food, a lot of fellowship, a lot of fun. So make sure you plan on being there next week with us, and you can read the other information about that. Again, you can look at the other things that are there, and I think that's pretty much most of the announcements. You can check the rest of them. For others, now we want to enter into our prayer time. Okay? Our prayer time from Patty Miller, a friend that is having heart issues, so please pray for Debbie, and a friend who's having family issues, so please pray for them. Jessica Bursler, prayers for Carla Davis, David Menser, and Summer as they welcome a new addition to their family tomorrow. Okay, so that's a definitely big deal. We definitely want to lift them in prayers. Melinda asked for prayers for a friend's boyfriend who is in ICU, and what do you have? What was that? A seizure. Had a seizure. Can you do that? Today, prayers from Judy and Marsha. Trudy Bennett had knee surgery this week, and praying for a speedy recovery and healing in Jesus' love. Okay? If you have any other prayer requests, please go ahead, write them down. If you're joining us with church online today, you can just go to our website. And if you forgot to fill it out today, you can always go to our website, click on have a prayer request. You go ahead and put that on, and it goes right to our prayer coordinator who sends that out to our prayer chain. So it's a great way to get those things out there. Okay? All right. Well, again, as I said, we are glad that you're here. If you are visiting with us, welcome. We don't believe you're here by mistake. Hope you'll fill out the card you received and go ahead and take it out there. We have a small gift for you after church. But most of all, we're just glad that you're here to connect with us in the love of God. So bow with me for a prayer right now. Lord God, we come before you now and we give you thanks for who you are. You are an amazing God and we love you. And it seems at times, Father, that the more we seek and sometimes the more we get off track. And so, God, I'm just glad that we're here today, that you can help us learn what it means to stand out in a positive way. And so, God, bring your Holy Spirit upon this room, upon everybody here, upon those who are watching church online. And for our young people and our not-so-young people, God, just move in this place. And so we ask also, Lord, for all these prayers that we lift up, for people who have family issues, for people who are dealing with all sorts of struggles and health issues, whatever it may be, God, you know the answer, and we ask that you go ahead and touch them. And so now, God, we also ask that you do something very special here today, that you've called this church into existence. And so, God, you have a purpose for us in ministering around the world and in our community. And so, God, right now we just ask for a special blessing to be upon each of us. And during this time where we have an opportunity to give back to you, whether we're sitting here together or whether we're watching church online, we each have an opportunity to give back to you through giving you your tithe and our offerings. God, let us use that to further your kingdom here and around the world. The things that you call us to do, those ministries that are so valuable in this community, help us to reach out. And God, we'll give you the glory and praise for what you would call us to do. And for that, we love you. In Christ's mighty name, amen. Ask if you kind of keep the aisles clean. Clear?
Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met every single day of your life. I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat.
The first part of today's reading is from Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Second part of the reading is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand.
We're starting a new series today, and wasn't that cool having them dance? Wasn't that great? It's always kind of amazing. It's always kind of cool how these things work out in schedule. There's a theme that the Holy Spirit puts together that that we don't work on and put together, that it just does it. So it's kind of cool. I was working on some of the, Wayne had talked about that song, and when I was working on some message stuff, I was like, oh my gosh, that'll fit perfect. So you guys can figure out where that is. At least I think it does. So that's all. I guess that's what matters to me. So we'll figure it out. So how you doing? You good? Good to see you. I thought it was supposed to be sunny today. I don't know where that is or not, but it is in here. Somewhere it is. Just like Jimmy Buffett said, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, correct? All right. Well, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Before we get started, you know, I just want to just like kind of take this time and just thank God. You know, it's just like, I think a lot of times, if you're like me in the midst of our lives, we're just going through stuff and we don't just take time to say thank you, God, for who you are and what you're doing. And that's just really kind of cool. So one of the hardest things that I do is switching gears after I've been in the midst of a sermon series. And a lot of times you'll see that I'll break it up at times. This time, I just really wanted to go ahead and stop and kind of just kick into something a little bit differently, and God just led me to this concept of standing, and so I'm sitting down for it. but just to be able to stand. And today we're going to talk about standing out. Right now I have a plan for a 5-week series. Sometimes God will say that's enough, but right now I have 5 weeks, and it's all going to be on the life of Daniel. And most of what we know about Daniel is his Lion's Den experience, and we will touch on that. We also know about his three buddies, who unfortunately we threw on Joan today. She had to read them: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But that's all right. We'll get somebody else in another week. But so let me just tell you how I want this to. I really feel like this is going to be led in, like, times. There are times where we stand out, and today we want to talk about how we're going to stand out in the right ways, in the right time, for the right reason. And because there's a lot of times we don't stand out for the proper right reasons. And then we're going to just kind of focus on some other things. Today, stand out. Next week, we're going to talk about stand up, where Daniel stands up to the king, stands up for the right things. Then we're going to talk about standing for. And then we're going to talk about standing in faith and prayer. And we're going to finish the series with standing firm. And standing firm, we're going to get into the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So we can work on that. Or if you guys are VeggieTales fans, Rack, Shack, and Benny. Which you may have me go ahead and do that. One of the things I started to look at was I started to think about some people who have stood out today. And so I came across this one. Go ahead, Melinda, and show that first one. This person stood out. Bill Buckner. Bill Buckner was a great baseball player. Anybody who is a Boston Red Sox fan, you have just gritted your teeth a lot more. And Bill Buckner, they were one out away from winning the World Series against the Mets in 1986. They put Bill Buckner in for defense, and the ball went through his legs. And forever, this poor guy who played actually a pretty successful career is known for standing out in the biggest stage of baseball. And you say Bill Buckner, and people recognize that you are not very good at baseball, is what people think. But he actually was a pretty decent baseball player. There's another one here that we have. Go ahead. Rosa Parks, who actually didn't stand up. She sat down. And when we look at her and we think about her, she said, the whole thing she says is, I was just tired. I was just tired. I didn't feel like going to the back of the bus. And so what does she do? Because of her standing out, she helped propel the civil rights movement forward by just standing out. And then we have this person, Adolf Hitler, who stood out. It's okay, you can boo him. But who stood out for major negative reasons in this world. And when, not many people name their kid Adolf anymore. Have you noticed? He kind of removed something completely. And his evils affected millions and millions and millions of people and generations and the world forevermore. So he had that one. And then we have this one who tends to stand out in lots of different places at different times. I tend to stand out in different areas and different things that I tend to do. It's really kind of interesting. What are we going to do? I want to share with you. I want to go to this first chapter. We're going to be in the first chapter of Daniel. And I want to give you some background history here. So if you have your Bibles or you have your app or whatever you have, you may want to turn to Daniel. If you're turning your Bible, you're probably going to have to look around a little bit. It's kind of hidden in there. But let me give you some background history. King Nebuchadnezzar is the king. He was an evil king that destroyed Jerusalem at this time. He destroyed it so much, he was so evil, he burned their temple. And before he did that, he took all their religious symbols and began to crush them, break them up, destroy them right in front of them. In a sense, and I thought this was very fitting considering the movie we're going to see, in a sense telling them that their worship of their God was dead. It was done. Their God was dead. They crushed the temple. He had crushed everything that was there. But that was destroying their past and present. But then what he did, he added something else. He decided to attempt to destroy their future. So what he tells them is he decides to kidnap the brightest, most talented young men at this time, young men. And what he does is he says, take them, bring them here. And so he kidnaps them, brings them into Babylonian culture, teaches them the Babylonian way. And so what he would do is he would go to the Cecil Whig and pull out those who are on the honor list, honor roll. And he would take all those, the ones who are the most likely to succeed, and he would take them and he would just bring them into the culture, and he would treat them actually very well in order to indoctrinate them into Babylonian culture. And what he would also do is he would turn and make them leaders of the Babylonian culture. So they would take them and assimilate them in. So we see this in Daniel chapter 1. We'll begin with verses 3 through 5. And it says, the king ordered Ashpenaz. How'd you like to go through life with that name? My name is Ashpenaz. And there's no Ashpenazes here, is there? Okay, just checking. Just an Ash guy. Okay, here we go. So It says, he ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his court of officials, to bring into the king's service some young Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, who were handsome, showing aptitude of every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table, and they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter into the king's service. Look at that. When we see that, he wanted to teach them the language, and he also fed them from the king's table. Now, I don't know about you, that sounds pretty good. It wasn't like he's like, give them scraps. He's like, give them the best. Give them stuff from my table. And in doing so, what he was doing, and they were trained 3 years, and then they went enter service. What is this is called is he's got a complete indoctrination program here. He's indoctrinating them in the Babylonian culture, so they say, gosh, you know what, it is better here. And he's taking the cream of the crop, trying to do away with everything else that they have in their culture from the Israelites. And as I looked at this a little bit, I started to think what he wanted them to do was to begin to think like Babylonians in every single way, to think and live like Babylonians. And then I started looking, and the Lord just kind of spoke something to me that I think we have our own King Nebuchadnezzar. It's Satan. That Satan wants us to think and believe and act like he would want us, the things he wants us to learn and behave, or the things that please him. Right there. He wants us to think and act and believe in the things that please him. He wants us to believe all the lies. I thought it was really interesting that, you know, there's so many of us that walk around the world, and that song was Child of the One True King, and they had different signs of things that they believed, who they were, and things that they hear, that they hear lies and deceit and all that other kind of stuff that helps change and shift the way we think and act and believe. And one of the things I find more and more is I think we end up at a time where we have what is called the cultural Christian, or a sort of Christian. And as we see that there are people who believe and think things. They say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, but they live and believe lives that are totally incompatible with what Scripture teaches them. And more so, they think and believe lies about themselves that Satan wants them to believe, rather than who they're supposed to serve. And I deal with this time and time again, that people believe one thing and another. And I want to say something that I think this whole thought process of being a sort of Christian is really something that is extremely dangerous, and that we may have nothing outward about being a Christian except for being a good person. One of the things that I cringe at a lot of times is people who are good people that don't know the Lord and don't live for the Lord or think they know the Lord just say, yeah, I believe, but don't have any commitment to Christ in their lives. It's harder to get to them because they don't see the need in their own lives for Jesus. It's like, it would be like this. It would be like if once a year I decided to tell my wife I love her. I'd say, oh, guess what? It's September. It's the first day of fall. I love you. See you next year. How strong, how good, how powerful is that relationship going to be? How meaningful is that? And so that's one area. Or it may be like working out once a year and say, you know what, I believe in getting fit. I believe in just getting in shape. And today, done. Okay, see you next year. It doesn't work that way. In this relationship with Christ, we've got to go ahead. It's a daily, weekly, minute by minute kind of thing. It's even, we can't get it all in 1 hour on Sunday. 1 hour on Sunday just scratches the surface if your life is like mine. Is anybody's like mine? Okay, just scratches the surface of what we have. And so this is one of the issues that we find here. Nebuchadnezzar was doing this, but it also was affecting others that are there. The church, 1 hour is not enough. 50 minutes if we walk in late is not enough. Half an hour, whatever it may be, is not enough in order to have this relationship with Christ. We're told by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. It's up here. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Look what it says here. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against what? The devil's schemes. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to what? Stand your ground. And after you've done everything else, what do? Stand. Some of the times, the hardest thing to ever do is just stand. I've been in situations where people have heard horrific news that loved ones have passed, and what's the first thing they do? They collapse. And there's so much in our lives that we're trying to carry the weight of, that at times our knees start to buckle, or at times we just give way in the midst of that. And so when we look here, that sometimes you have to take and act in a certain way that God believes for you, not in a reason, in a way that Satan tells you. There is a time in our lives where we need to take a stand. And what I want to say to you is, I believe that we need to check our Christianity if there is not no time that we have to take a stand in our lives. And I want to share with you today, we're going to show this video, God Is Not Dead, and this is one of the catalyst scenes of the movie, and I just want to show this real quickly to talk about this.
Your permission, I would like to bypass this senseless debate altogether and jump to the conclusion, which every sophomore is already aware of: there is no God. All that I require from each of you is that you fill in the papers I've just given you with three little words: God is dead, along with your signature. Assuming we reach a unanimous consensus, which I expect we will, I will be spared the tedious duty of slogging through dry and dusty arguments, and you will bypass the section of the course in which students have traditionally received their lowest grades of the semester. And when you finish, please pass your papers to the right. You. Thank you. Oh, a lowercase g. Maybe this one ought to get extra credit. Thank you. Excuse me, Mr.
Wheaton. Josh Wheaton.
Mr. Wheaton, is something wrong?
Yeah, I can't. I can't do what you want. I'm a Christian.
Oh, don't worry. You can still go back to your dorm room and sink to your knees and pray at your bedside if you'd like. What you do in your personal life is your business, but what you do in this class is mine.
Sometimes in our lives we have to take a stand for God in the right place at the right time for the right reason. Amen. And I believe it's more important than ever before here today. And I think one of the things that we need to ask ourselves is, if I'm never standing out for God and I'm always blending in, then maybe I need to ask if I'm really following Jesus. Because after every person I see in Scripture, when they take a stance for Christ or for God, they end up having some issues. They end up standing out. And so as we look at this, we need to go ahead and check exactly what we learned from Daniel and his companions on this section. And so let's look at this. In Daniel chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, it says, among those who were chosen from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. It says, the chief officials gave them new names. To Daniel, he gave the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, he gave the name Shadrach. To Mishael, he gave the name Meshach. And to Azariah, he gave the name Abednego. Now, why in the world does this mean anything? What is the importance of any of this? Why did they go ahead and decide to change their names and change their diets? Because he also went ahead and decided to give them food from the king's table. What's going on here? Well, it's really interesting that their names mean something. Names really, really mean something. In Daniel, his name means God is my judge. Hananiah means beloved by the Lord, or by Yahweh. Mishael means who is as God. And Azariah means the Lord is my help. Their names related to Yahweh God. And their names were changed to relate to the pagan gods, so much so that Daniel's name, Belteshazzar, means Bel's prince. Shadrach means illumined by sun god. Meshach means who is like Venus. And Abednego means servant of Nego. He wanted to go ahead and change who their identity was through their name. And I think sometimes that's why we live our lives. We have everybody else changing our identity, who we are. That we say here on Sunday, I'm a child of the one true king. But then we go out through the rest of the week and we say, I'm broken. I'm nothing but lies. We go ahead and say, I am who people say I am. I am useless. And we struggle with these week in and week out. And we begin to believe these things day in and day out. And then they started to change their diets. They prepared food for the king. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds really good. Food for a king? Like the rest of the people eating something else? But can you imagine having just kingly food? I mean, that's good stuff. But they refused to eat it. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, why do they refuse to do that? Because one of the interesting things is, Daniel doesn't resist when they change his name, but when he says, I want you to eat this good food, is when he resists. Why? Because the food that time was, before it was given to people, it was sacrificed or given as an offering to the gods. So to take that, Daniel had a point in his life where he realized, I need to stand up. And so what we find out is he didn't complain about the names, because what Daniel recognized is something we need to recognize. The names others call me don't define who I am. The names and the things that people say about me do not define any way who I am. Daniel did not defend himself when his name was attacked. But when did he defend himself? When God's name was being attacked. And I find that to be really powerful in his life. What we need to recognize is, number three on your sheet, is we must make predetermined, we're going to have it up here, we make predetermined promises. I believe we have that up here, right, Melinda? There we go. Predetermined resolutions. Daniel had drawn a line in the sand. Call me what you want. Sticks and stones, names won't hurt me, blah, blah, blah. He wasn't into that, didn't care what people said. And believe me, I can tell you that things that people call you and say about you can hurt you and be there for a long, long time. But Daniel was so sure of who he is in God that the thing that was the breaking point was when they wanted to take what is given to other gods and have him eat that, and he would be following those other gods. By this predetermined resolution, he said, enough is enough. In other words, what I believe that we need to do, we must commit ourselves to this predetermined resolution if we're going to follow God. What do you mean by that, Jack? Let me say this. That there comes times in life where we need to say before the temptation gets there, no, not going to get engaged in that. If we make a commitment in life, let's say we say, I'm not going to talk about somebody behind their back. We don't wait till people are talking about that person to go ahead and say, nope, I'm not going to talk about them now. We say, if someone is going to talk about somebody, then I'm going to remove myself from that situation. For young people, I know a lot of young people who get into interesting situations with significant others. Everybody with me here? Do I need to explain this anymore? Okay. And they say, no, I don't want to because I don't believe that's what I should do in my life, whatever. And they get to that point, and then you talk to them afterwards and say, I don't know what happened. We were there, and I prayed, and you were there. You with me? If you don't want to be in that situation, don't be in that situation. You know, that's where we go to. Or we could say, there's so many different things that we could say in life about situations that we place ourselves in, but to say no, when we say no, for me, it's been more and more something in my life to not get sucked into the vortex of gossip. You know what I mean? The vortex. Now, you say, well, wait, you know, you were talking with me about somebody. Hold on. If it's truth, it's not gossip. If you're going to say it right to their face, it's okay. Why, by the measuring stick you have is what you hold yourself is what you hold to somebody else. And if you can compare that, that's awesome. Okay? So in this case, that just is a cancer in groups and in churches and in people. Has anybody ever been around people where you be sitting there and you're smiling and you're talking and then you go on and then all of a sudden you kind of get that weird feeling? Or you're talking about somebody and they come up and they're like, hi, and you leave and then all of a sudden you leave and you feel like they're talking about you. Guess what? They are. That's what happens. And so we need to have predetermined resolutions. For you, it may be in your business that you draw a line in the sand. I will not do anything illegal or immoral in my life. I won't do it. I don't care how much money I'm going to make. I don't care what promotion I'm going to get. I'm not going to do it. Here's the line in the sand I'm going to draw. And Daniel did that. And guess what? It caused him a lot of problems in some of that. It caused him a lot of those things in many ways. He stood out. They decided, look at what they decided here. It says in verse 8, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine, and he asked the chief priest, the chief official, for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. And so Daniel makes a deal. Daniel said, I'm not going to do that. What deal did Daniel make? Daniel said, give me 10 days and check us out. Let us just eat the stuff that's not committed to them and see how we look. Take a look at us. In 12, verse 12, servants for 10 days give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat royal food and who treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed and he tested him for 10 days. Number 15, at the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nursed than any of the other young men who ate the royal food. You notice that Daniel didn't go into a big public protest. You notice he didn't do this. He says, like this. Here, help me out, Tommy. He didn't go like this. He didn't go. Here, hold on. Warning! Warning! Food to gods! Food to gods! Come on. Here, hold on to that, Chris. Here we go. Here we go. Warning! We're going to section this off. This is for the other gods. This is for the other gods. Nobody eat this food. There you go, Bonnie. All right, help me out. This section, no way. Up. Oh, Bonnie's getting hit in the head. Here we go. From now on, nobody eat this food here. Nobody cross this line. No one. What do you do when you see this? Does this get attention? Here you go, Gary. Hold on to that for me. Here you go. Warning. Warning. I got you. Sorry. Here you go. Help me out here. You guys are like, what in the world is he doing today? Okay, here we go. From now on, nobody go into this. Here you go, Tommy. Nobody go into this section here. It's off limits. These are all evil, defiled people. You guys sat in the right seat today. You are the holy ones. Now, if somebody came in and saw this, they would go, it would get attention. And it would get negative attention. It says caution. So if you came in here, where would you sit? Right here, where you guys did. Daniel didn't go, everybody march. Hebrews against food. We will not take the king's food. No, no. He didn't do that. He didn't do that at all. He also didn't stand there and talk to his friends. Can you believe the king? I can't believe him. I know what's best for my body. The king doesn't. He didn't go through any of that. What he did was he came up with a plan. You can drop that. You don't have to hold that. That would have been great if I let you hold that the rest of the service. He didn't do any of that. He just made a decision. And he came with a plan. And he came to him and said, listen, let me ask you something. Can you just test us for a couple days? And the guy says, sure, we'll check that out. We'll go ahead and do that. The plan was something that was powerful. He had a commitment to where he wasn't going to cross the line. And we'll read in the next couple weeks about how Daniel, and we'll talk about Daniel. But what Daniel said, his plan was one that was done within the area of authority. The area of authority. I would say over my life, most of the complaints I've ever had in my life are about people who were in authority that I didn't like what they were doing. Or they were people who I was in a position of authority in, and they didn't like what I was doing. And rather than approaching with a plan, I approach with a complaint, or with a problem, or with a picket, or with the gathering of my troops together, and that kind of stuff. One of the things that we find out is that Daniel and his friends told us is I must stand out for the right things in the right way. In the right way. There are a lot of people who stand out for many things in the wrong way. There are a lot of Christians who are sword pokers. You know what that means? We learn that this is a sword of the Spirit. And what they do is they find something wrong with you and they go, get it right. Pay attention. Don't fall asleep in church. Oh, you guys are in the good section. Here we go. Right, pay attention. See? I got her. If you were as good as if you were as good as me, you'd do this. Come on, let's go. If you prayed as much as me, come on. You know, we're sword pokers. We use this to poke at people. This is the word of life, not the word of death. And people take it and use this as a weapon, which should be used in spiritual warfare, not against physical warfare about people, and say, let me play Bible roulette and tell you that your sin in your area is worse than what I've got going on in my life. Amen. And because I know this and you don't, I'm right because I've been in a church since I was born, and you may have just come in with all your mess, but guess what? I'm the one who knows this, and I know how to play church so well. I can talk about everybody, and I beat the snot out of everybody, and then smile and say Jesus loves me at the same time. And there's something wrong with that. There's something completely wrong with that. That we have to reach our point and say, no. Yeah, you know what? People are doing some wrong things in life. There are people that are missing what God has intended for them. But guess what? Poking them and hitting them over the head with a 20-pound Bible ain't getting them any closer to Christ. If anything, it's shoving them further away. And if that's the church of the future, I want nothing to do with it myself as a pastor. What I want is a place where people who are broken and hurting can come in, and people who may have had all the Sunday school pins down here can sit together and talk about how, yes, I am a sinner saved by the grace of God as well. And it's only because of this and because of him on that cross that I can even stand here because of my love for him. And I will stand for him based off of this in my life. My favorite hymn, I was telling Wayne the other day in praise team, my favorite hymn growing up as a kid was a song called Standing on the Promises. Anybody remember that song? Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. And we have people that today will sing that song and then go out and tear his promises down and question them because they believe a lie from the enemy or they believe what's going on in their own heads. And that has no place in the kingdom of God at all. You know, there are some people who are just gifted with the spiritual gift of annoying. It's not one. You know, they just like the gnats, you know. And Jesus had it no different. If you look at the people who were the most annoying people in Jesus' life, who were they? The religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees. It wouldn't mean that they were horrible people. It's just that they missed the nature of the law. They missed what it was about. It was about salvation, not oppression. And somewhere along the line, we have opened our hearts and minds to be Christian Pharisees in a way. And I believe it breaks the heart of God when we look at this. You see, I was just thinking about the other day how sometimes it's really cool to stand for the right things in the right way. And as a pastor, I have to stand out. I call it life in the fishbowl. Particularly since we do church online, it's so weird the places I'll end up and people go, hey, I watch you every week. And I'm like, really? Like binoculars, what, you know, that kind of stuff. And they'll say, no, online, we look every week. I'm like, awesome. And it's really kind of cool. It also makes me realize I have to behave myself a lot better in public, that I can't just be, want to do what Jack wants to do. And so I have to stand out as a pastor. But I was thinking back to a time when I was in, when I worked in, right out of college, in marketing and PR, and then I was in sales. And I remember I was Christian. I led Bible studies. I did that kind of stuff, and I had my Bible with me and those kind of things. And how it was like it stood out to people when they'd see these things. And I remember having conversations with people who would just start to ask, and they find out that my dad was a pastor. Oh, you're one of them PKs, aren't you? I know about you guys. I said, yep, card carrying, evil, yes. And yeah, I got the T-shirt. Yes. But I remember that a lot of times when I was training to be a pastor, that people would say, "Oh, so you're a pastor?" And you know, it's really cool. I've shared this before, but sometimes I'd meet somebody I hadn't seen in a while, and when I became a pastor, they'd say, "Oh, hey, how you doing?" And I'd say, "I'm a pastor now." And they go, "Huh." Or if they were a pastor, they'd go, or if they were Christian, they'd go, oh, bless God. Where'd that come from? Last second, you were like, where the heck's the stuff at Walmart? You know, now you're like, oh, bless God. He'll help me find it. Aisle three, Lord. Lead me, oh, great one. You know, I mean, and so it just changed. It just changed. And I realized, I think God doesn't desire for us to change and waffle in every single way that we have. He wants us committed as Daniel. He wants us to make a stance. If we look in verse 19 of Daniel, and again, this week we're just kind of setting up the whole deal for the rest of the series. In verse 19, well, let me start in verse 17. It says, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kind. And in verse 19, the king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. You see, what I think is really interesting is God gives them supernatural understanding and experience. The supernatural occurs. Just think, if Daniel did not have that line in the sand where he said, like that guy in that movie, it just says, no, I can't do that. It would have been so easy to just say, God is dead, boom, throw it in. Nobody would have known but him and God. And you wouldn't have had to deal with it. He wouldn't have had to do the whole work that he had to do against a professor to go through this. But he wanted to stand out. Now, we all stand out in good and bad ways in our lives. There's some of us that stand out in a good, positive way as good role models, and there's others who stand out in negative ways. I got to share this because it just kind of caught me off guard, and I thank God for these kind of standouts. This week, I was walking across the college campus, and I went across over Cecil, and I saw a student. I said, hi, how you doing? She's sitting there with a whole bunch of friends, and she walks off, and I went, and I come back. I had class later, and this girl happened to be in my class, and so I went to class, and I was sitting there. I was talking to her, and they were sitting in the front, and her friend, this guy sitting there, he said, you got to tell him. I was like, what? Tell him what? But she goes, no, nothing now. And said, no, tell him. Tell him. I said, go ahead, tell me. Come on. She goes, you know how I was sitting with all my friends the other day? She said, when you said hi today? I said, yeah. She said, you walked by and you said hi. And she goes, after that, they said, oh, he's so hot. Now, I got to tell you, at that moment, I said, man, there must be some ugly people around here. But what that did, I said, ooh, that's been a long time for that. I said, I think she just wants an A. My serious thing, I turned to her and I said, you and your friends are extremely intelligent. I figured that out right now. And I went on. But, you know, I mean, standing out, I thought, that's a good way to stand out. Thank you, Lord. I'll take that one. But in life, I like those. And then I started to say, but what I really want to know is, am I standing out not in a physical manner, but am I standing out in a spiritual manner? Do they see the love of Christ in me? Do they see that I care about them, not just because they're here, but because they're an individual that God has brought into this world? Do people see Jesus in me? Do I stand out, and does Christ stand out in me? That when you see Jack, you don't see Jack in his mess and his hotness, but you see Jesus. Okay? And I have shared that with lots of people this week. It's just an awesome thing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? I came home and told my wife. She laughed. But it's about standing out for Christ. And if I take my last breath today at this moment, because God doesn't find that funny, if that's what happens, I hope that that's not what people remember about me, and I know you guys won't, so it's okay. I hope what you know about me is that in my life, even when times are tough, even when I don't feel like drawing a line in the sand, even when I don't feel like connecting and planning worship and loving someone who is one of those people with the spiritual gift and annoying, that I do so not because of me, but because he who lives within me. Because as we see, what we have a roaming lion in our lives, his name is Satan, who wants to devour us. And I've seen people in this church who have gone on a spiritual high and have been at a place, and I've seen Satan tell them who they are, talk to them, and convince them of something else, remind them of what people in their past told them. that caused their lives to crumble. I've seen people who did not have that predetermined area in their life, and they allowed it to crumble away, and they ended up seeing their whole life fall apart. Today, around the country, I mentioned it a couple months ago, and around the world, is Back to Church Sunday. And I hope people connect that it's not just a one-time back to church, but it's back to Jesus. Church is fine. Church is cool, but Jesus is the thing. And if we don't get back to the basics of Jesus Christ and quit playing church, then this is all for naught. And everything that we have makes no sense. And so, Lord God, as we come before you today and as we open up this series, that will stand out for you. That will stand out in ways that these men did. When everybody else was doing one thing, it would have been easy to say, we could compromise. We could go ahead and say, all right, God, everybody else is eating it. It's not hurting them. But God, I right now as we pray, and I'm going to ask everyone, just please stand where you are and pray. God, as we pray at this moment right now, I want people to begin to just close their eyes and just seek you and ask themselves this question. God, I want your boldness. Give me boldness and give me courage to stand out. Give me strength to do what's right, not because of me, but because that's what you desire in our lives. God, let us not stand out for things that last only temporarily, but let us stand out for those things which affect people's lives and show them you. If you are somebody who really is tired of blending in, God, if we're blending in and we keep blending in, if you're somebody who feels that, whether today or at home, if you feel like, I'm tired of just blending in for God, I'm tired of people not even knowing whether I'm a Christian or whether I serve the Lord, just kind of raise your hand and say, I want to be bold. I want to be bold in my place of work, God. I want your spiritual boldness in my life. I want you that wherever you place me, if it's around children, then I'll be bold for you. If it's around friends, I'll be bold for you. Whatever it is, I just raise my hand and say, God, give me that boldness and strength to face that. That's awesome. That's awesome. God, I pray for those people who've said that. And God, I thank you for your presence with us. And I thank you for your Old Testament word, the Hebrew covenant, God. Because if it wasn't for that and the people of Daniel's time, then we wouldn't have the joy of your son, Jesus, coming into the world without fulfilling those promises. God, I thank you that you showed through them that you can give supernatural ways to see that wisdom and experience it. And God, I pray that I will never honor myself, that I will never bring and draw attention to me, but that if I do, it's only to honor you. For so many other people who are here, God, and who may be watching online, they may be those cultural Christians, Lord. At just those few inches, they're missing heaven. They've got it in their head, they understand, but they're missing it in their hearts. They always blend in, always following somebody else besides you. So what I want to do something a little bit different now, Lord. If we're gonna put this stand up together. So before I've said, hey, if you want to accept Jesus, give your heads bowed and your eyes closed, go ahead and raise your hand. What I want you to do, if you want to accept the Lord and you want to stand up in this bravery, I ask you to raise your head, lift up, look to the Lord, and say this. God, if you want to tell the Lord, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I don't care what others think. I don't care what the stranger next to me. I don't care. I got brought here because I spent the night at somebody's house. I got brought here. I never come here again. But something you're saying is touching me. I don't know what it is. But if you just say, I need Christ and His grace and His strength and His salvation, just go ahead with your head up and raise your hand. Just say, I need that in my life, Lord. I see it. That's awesome. A couple over there, a couple there. That's awesome. Thanks. Thank you, Lord. And then just repeat after me, if you will. Heavenly Father, forgive me my sins. Make me brand new. I believe Jesus died. I believe He rose again. I believe your Spirit lives in me. Make me brand new so I can follow you and serve you. In Jesus' mighty name, help me stand up and out. In Christ's name. Amen. Let's give him praise. Let's give the Lord praise. I'm going to ask some of our prayer coordinators to come back up. I don't think Debbie's here today. Randy and Donna, if you would come up. And they're here to pray with you. I'm here to pray with you. If you accepted Christ for the first time today and just really opened your life to Christ, tell somebody. Tell somebody. Come and share it with somebody. That's exciting. Heaven throws a party when that happens. I like parties. Don't you like parties? Okay, that's what heaven does. And so we're just going to open up the altar and the side here. Just come to the Lord as we have this next song. right now with I'll Stand. Just real close. Ready?
So I'll stand in heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrender. I am.
Today's just a way of kind of getting into this service. Next week, go ahead, show them, Melinda. Next week, stand up. It makes you want to sing Bob Marley, doesn't it? Get up, stand up. Okay, so we're going to talk about standing up. So this week, I want you to ask yourself, how are you going to stand out for Christ? How are you going to stand out for God in this world? Have an awesome week in Jesus. Do not forget, tonight, 6:30, God is not dead. Tell somebody, God's not dead, bring them. We'll see you. Have a great week.